Hi, I'm Spicy Dicey.
And I'm Chantal Renee.
And we love sex and horror.
These are topics we love to write about as published authors.
I love all things spicy and dicey.
And I'm a big fan of sex and the sinister.
Thanks for joining us for some dark, twisted, sexy, uncensored fun as we discuss
sex and horror.
From crystals to tarot cards to wands to broomsticks to blessed candles to ornate swords and to incense sticks. The magic cauldron brings life to all your otherworldly tricks. Look them up, don't be shy, that's the Magic Cauldron, Houston's favorite magic shop.
Hey Chantel, how's it going tonight?
Good evening, I'm good.
Good. So we did a thing June 23rd, Thursday night at the Black Social Club, Black Magic Social Club.
There you go.
Hey, we should play a drinking game one night where we take a shot every time we screw up the name of something or every time we forget what to call something.
Then we wouldn't be able to finish this podcast.
It'd be fun, though.
In the background, you would just hear cats meowing at my house and you snoring. I don't know.
Could be fun, though. By the end, yeah.
Well, what we should do is have everybody who listens take a shot when they know the answer.
That way we all passed out.
Yeah.
So we did a thing June 23rd, last Thursday night at the Black Magic Social Club with Houston Horror Film Festival folks came out. Scott, thank you for coming. I don't know why I'm acting like he's listening. Scott's not listening, but anyway, thanks, Scott, and all of our readers. We had a bunch of different readers come up, and you read several times, and it was just, I had a wonderful time.
It was so much fun. Yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of it. And we, of course, had the ever infamous Julio there.
Yes.
Who listens to all the podcasts and joins us at all our events.
Yes, it's a real treat to see him. You know, when you see a familiar, kind, friendly face somewhere, it's always a pleasure to see him on the horror circuit.
Yes.
So you're thinking, so our next event is the Houston Horror Film Festival, July 22nd through the 24th, and then we're going to do the thing again in August, right?
Yes, we will. We'll be doing an open mic night, and it's all reading, though some people, you know, we did actually have a performer last time. She just sung with the background music, and then she did an actual improv. It was an improv. That's different. It was more of a reading, or I don't know what the right word is, but she did an acting skit,
a monologue.
There you go.
Yeah, and there that would go. Be Jace Patiz, for those of you who know her as the book cover model for my Narcoleptic Vampire series. She's on four of those books. She joined us and looking fly as ever. She sang a song on one and a monologue on another. Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. So, I mean, we welcome everyone. Everyone was so kind and enjoyed the excitement. We made no one feel bad or weird, even though we had a couple of strange things happen, but it was all in fun and I enjoyed everything that everybody did.
And everybody who didn't read still brought some really good vibes. So that was great. It was the right crowd. A lot of people said they were going to come and it didn't come, but that's fine because like I told you beforehand, whoever shows up is going to be the right group. It's going to be the perfect group. It's going to be fun no matter what. And it was so.
And it was a Thursday, which, you know, I was a little worried because it's a school night. But guys, I mean, we were out of there by like, well, we actually stayed longer. We wrapped things up before 10, but we sat around and chatted and then went out afterwards to have a late night little quick bite. And honestly, guys, it was like, you know, so much fun. You don't have to do those after hour things, but you're going to be out of there before 10 or right at 10. You'll get home in plenty of time and you get a chance to be in a space with like-minded individuals. And it's so much fun. Like,
girl,
everybody was
summer.
Great.
It's the summer. Ain't nobody worried about no school night. If they didn't come because they didn't want to or because something came up and they couldn't. But I go to events all the time through the night. I don't give anybody any excuses. They either come because they want to or because they can or whatever. But I think the time you picked, the day you picked, the location you picked, all of that was just great. You don't need to change anything. The people who are supposed to be there, they will show up.
And let me tell you guys, I will just say this. Even Dicey got up there, even though she didn't read, but she was on stage and it was awesome. It was so much fun. I think that people need to know that you don't have to read. Julio didn't read. He just came out to enjoy and support. And that was exactly what we need. And you know what? If you get so inspired by hearing everyone else and you want to jump in and read something or, you know, sing something or, you know, just monologue, you know, whatever you want to do. If something inspires you, people are saying you write something down on a napkin, you want to share it. Wonderful. It was just, it was the non-judgmental open mic night, because I've been to plenty of poetry nights where everybody's just like nose in the air, kind of like really uptight. And this was so relaxed and calm, and it was awesome.
Well, I'm glad, because I don't do uptight, and that's usually why I don't like going to a whole lot of Lori events when I go there. But
and Brian, the setting,
our friend Brian came. I know him for many years at Comic Palooza, and he read, and there was a guy named Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ernie that read, he read something very gothic. And Scott, he went into, this is from Scary Dad's podcast also, from Horror Film Festival and Scary Dad's. And he also gave us the history of how he became a horror fan, which I thought was really beautiful, because if you're in this space, you could probably connect. You could probably relate to that. So I appreciate him telling a little bit more about his story. I've seen him a lot over the last few years, and I've never really had a conversation with him, you know, about that. So that was very nice of him.
Yeah, it was great. And he did a great piece. He recited another writer's piece, and it was great. And that's the thing. Like, you don't have to have all originals. You know, you can read other people's things. Like, I got up there and I was going to actually, if I ran out of actual material of my own, I was just going to read from lyrics from songs I enjoy. So there's just so many great things that you can share. And it's just fun because you're around your people, you know, like people who like horror and who don't mind sexy stuff. From a sexy story I've written that was pretty funny. I had everybody laughing on that one.
Yeah, that was funny. Your friend got up there. He opened and closed with the piece.
Lestat.
I want to say Lestat, and I know that's not right, but.
And he has a little bit of a different accent, but yeah, okay. I'm really so bad about enunciating his name, but it's close enough.
So
did a great job.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you for the idea. This, by the way, I don't think I've said on the podcast yet, but we are currently in our fourth season, folks. This is four seasons of doing this. We are in our fourth. We have concluded season three. We had a hiatus in season three, but we have been back strong for a couple of months. We are now in our fourth season. Thank you for continuing to listen and support. Continue to share our podcast with other people. Come out to the next reading that we have, open mic reading. If you're in town, if you're local in August, and if you're not local, just share it with someone that you know would be interested, if you know someone that's here.
That's right. And you'll be able to find out the exact date on all our social media accounts, or updating. I finally am updating my website, so it'll also be on my website, ChantelRenee.com.
Mm-hmm. And also make sure you're at the Houston Horror Film Festival, July 22nd through 24th. It was amazing also how Scott went into how much it has ballooned. It's grown so much.
Oh, wow. So much.
That tells us that Houston was starving for an event like this. I'm so glad that.
What did he say? The first year, the big got over 4,000.
Yeah, they were expecting a couple hundred.
Yeah, this year it's going to hit
40,000, I think.
I don't think that many. No, 20,000. No, not that big. We are going to take over the entire hotel. So we're looking at definitely double digits.
Okay. Well, like every time, this is the mental space I'm in these days. I don't worry about who doesn't show up. No matter who comes for the Houston Horror Film Festival, we are going to have a blast.
And then we are over to America. Let's chase you guys. We're gonna have two big parties. Friday night's gonna be an after hours Saturday night's going to be an after hours party there, and the Saturday night one's 80s themed. All the really great fun music. Celebrities are going to have over, I can't remember how many, 70 celebrities, I believe. Over 100 vendors. Guys, and the films, they've got so much. And then to help keep updated on which films will be starting soon. Horror page on Facebook to get that app, or just visit HoustonHorrorFilmFestival.com and get the app.
Yes, very, 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 very good. So are we done with announcements?
I think so, except I got a mammogram yet. Bruises on these knockers.
Oh no.
They were so girl. I'm like, Jesus Christ. That is was attached.
It, cold too? It was cold, you know, too.
That didn't bother me because it's hot. We are in like the devil's crotch here in Houston right now. It's so fucking hot. It is. So, it's been and terrible.
I hope you don't hear the little white noise in the background, but I'm sitting right smack dab in front of my fan. Like, I cannot function around here without the fan. The AC's on, but we're going to have to get it repaired because it is not cranking out like it should. Or it could just be cranking out way too much. Like, the thing is just doing all it can, but so I'm sitting in front of the fan, so you might hear some noise. I'm sorry. I tried it without, and I can't do it. It's too hot.
Looking in a bathtub in the ice water.
Then mess around and drop the phone in there with me, and that's the end of this tonight's episode.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. In a little while, you may hear a meowing because I'm answering a kitten, and in the room she likes to stay. And I closed the door so she couldn't come in. And every now and then she starts rattling the door from underneath and screaming her loud meow.
My dog was scratching at the door. I asked my son to take care of him for a minute because otherwise he would be all in my face right now. I wouldn't be, my mouth would be full of fur, so I couldn't talk.
Oh my God.
But, you know, back to your mammogram. Kudos for going, though. Ladies, make sure you get yourself checked once a year. It is important to keep your breast health up to date. You got to do regular checkups. So I know it's a painful process, but good for you. Early detection is key.
And I tell you, it didn't really hurt. Like, those two out of the three positions. It's when I try to get, like, the upper part and the, like, that's where it really just like trying to pull everything in and your face is all mushed up against this thing and you're like, I can't you sanitize this the person because if not we're getting each other very well. But I'm sure that, yeah, it's just one of those things we have to do, ladies. And honestly, I it's 2017, so it was good for me to go.
Yes ma'am. Get that mammogram. Yes, ma'am. I'm glad you went.
And you know what? We are, you know, females and the important things that are happening. We are going through some as females right now. Fucking with female rights like there's no tomorrow. And I know federally we are seeing big changes, but, you know, that does not mean every state has to make these changes.
Right.
We are still close to Louisiana. Decided to keep it. So at least we have Louisiana Texans. All I can say, go ahead.
If someone needs to go camping, go to Louisiana. That's the camping is the word I keep hearing. I was like, oh, I like this. If you need to go camping, I know some people that can make sure you can still camp safely.
That's right. And you know what, guys? I am scared for the teenagers. That's what I'm scared for. Unfortunately, we going that so and you're gonna they're gonna have sex. It's just very hard not to when you're not sure. Pressures being a teenager and you know reality, there's so many people feel pressure so than we because they need to identify somebody now. Guys, you know, if you have a teenager, hey, safe, I want you to think about what you're doing. A price tag, just the tag from now on. And with our camp, you know, just like your hate to say it like this. It's like you save up for your first camping trips now.
Yeah. Sometimes you're coming in a little robotic. I don't know if it's on my end. I hope it's recording okay. But are you moving around at all?
The phone did kind of fall. It was on my leg and it kind of fell.
Oh, okay. All right. I went to see my daughter and I. We went to see The Black Phone today. Have you seen that?
I have. I need to go see.
Okay. I can't do any spoilers then, but I will say that I had no clue what the movie was about. What I saw was the title, and I saw Scott Derrickson's name. I saw C. Robert Cargill. I've been on a panel with him, a speaking panel, and Ethan Hawke. I saw the names. I saw all the names, and I was like, oh, I got to go see this. These are the same folks that were on Sinister. You know what I mean?
Like, yes. They, my favorite.
Yeah, Scott Derrickson and C. Robert Cargill were also, they're part of Doctor Strange. Even though I didn't see Cargill on the last one. I didn't see his name pop up in the credits for the multiverse one, but he was definitely on the first one. So they move in a squad, in a team. And I can't think of what the other guy's name is. The brother, Ethan Hawke's brother, but he was also in Sinister too. So this was a must-see. Like, it didn't even matter to me what the movie was about. I was going to go watch it because I know this team. Yeah, I know they're going to do good work. And so they give me the type of horror that kind of stuns me in the way that it ties everything together so well. I like this kind of psychological horror. And they do fantastic with the way they use kids. You know what I mean? So,
okay.
Yeah, I really enjoy that this is a 70s setting.
Oh, I'm going to love it.
Yeah, I know you like those retros.
Yeah,
and it is disturbing. Maybe not on Sinister level type disturbing, but it is a good watch. It's a rated R one. I like it because they do not mind going there, and I can appreciate that.
Okay, well, I'm excited. Review, so I can't wait to go. Yeah,
yeah, I like what they bring to the genre.
Was there any particular scene that you really that you want me to pay attention during?
No, not that I can think of. It was, it all ties together.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
She said, pay attention during the whole movie.
yeah, it all ties together. They use a lot of different things, a lot of methods to hone in on what they want to bring out.
Okay, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to go see this one for sure. I've been looking forward to it, and I'm trying to see if I can go see it sometime this weekend, hopefully.
Okay. What I like about these, you know, is it makes you think more than just like a slasher. It's not just like Mike Myers going through just slashing. It's not Jason with his act just slashing. There's a time and place for that. Nothing wrong with that either. I like that. We talked about Pickaxe when we had Jeremy Summerall on. Like, there's a place for the slashing. I have no problem with that. But this just makes you think, like, what is happening here? What's really going on? And so I like that process.
It seems like a good challenge for the author is what it sounds like for a writer, yeah. Too.
Yes, it's I like that they have some good writing on it. Yeah.
Awesome.
There's another name that I'm missing. I got to look it up real fast.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm definitely going to be seeing it soon.
Everybody take a shot.
Right? I have a bottle of water. I don't know if that's the same. But then by the end of it, I'll be using this little cat box that I have right here, this litter.
Joe Hill. You know Joe Hill.
Girl, you know I don't know anybody by name. She's like, you know who that is. I'm like,
Yeah, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son.
So oh, that's right. And I tell you right now, I've heard that name so many times and I'm still like, blank.
He's one of the writers also. So, you know, it's creepy.
Nice. Yeah, he's really good. Yeah, he's different than his dad, but he's great. No, mm-hmm. I enjoy him.
It's creepy. Yeah. So what you got?
Exciting. Well, let's see. I finished watching all of the new Umbrella Academy.
Me too.
What did you think of the season?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I was watching or reading comments on Facebook under the Umbrella Academy post. And I was so surprised that so many people hated it.
Really? I don't ever read anybody else's opinions. I'm like, y'all don't matter.
But I was surprised though, because I loved it so much.
Yeah. You know what? Because they're all older.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The story, we definitely gotten past the concept. Just like everything we do makes the world end. So it's just going to end. And I like that they kind of went into it instead of fighting to watch it.
Yeah.
I liked the new character brought along. The sparrows. And mm-hmm. a really awesome thing. And then finally we got some questions answered about their father, because we all knew he was alien. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. But of course, you know, at the very last scene, we see the father with this lady that was on the moon.
Yeah.
spoiler alert, sort of. And more questions, and none of them have their powers, because we all realize by the end they got them all from him.
Yeah.
So, you know, figure out this, the final season's coming up, so I'm guessing there's more to what we just went through. Sad when big guy died. I was like, no, he just love. And it was so sad, and I was really surprised how dark Rumor's character became.
Mm. Oh, I could speak to both of those scenarios with the big guy, Luther.
Yes,
I absolutely hated his character. Each season, I don't want to say hated, but I've disliked his character the most. Like, I love everybody else and what they bring, and his character is so pointless to me in a way. For balance sake, you know, he provides a little more levity that some of the others don't, like Klaus. He's way in the clouds, you know, so mm-hmm. in terms of him balancing him out, that's about the only purpose that I've seen for him. So I do not miss him at all. But you got to remember, this is a sci-fi fantasy horror. They did a whole lot more horror stuff this time. But they can bring back whomever they want, you know, at any time they want. They can go back into time.
Well, they did, obviously.
All sorts of things. They can change the timelines. Yeah, they could bring people back. I mean, old girl's family was gone, and we saw them at the end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Luther may be gone, may not. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him again. And
he's not gone at the end, Mama. He walked right out that door with the rest of them. Remember, he was all skinny.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, what do you mean you were sad that he got killed?
Well, I mean, when it first happened, I was like, oh, my God, they actually killed his character. I was shocked.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I didn't feel that at all. I did feel that, though, when Klaus got shot the first time. I was like, oh, my God, no. This show is going straight to hell if they're killing Klaus. This is done. This is a done deal. But okay, so I've had this thing for Robert Sheehan for years. This is going back to Misfits days. Like, Misfits is my shit. I created a whole book, a whole character around the character that he played, Nathan Young. My best friend's fantasy lovers, Tommy, that's in that book, is based on Robert Sheehan playing Nathan Young. And he in Misfits is also immortal. There's this line that I saw. I was so happy to see so many people on the Facebook groups being like, oh, it's like, it's Nathan Young all over again. I'm immortal. So, and the only difference is the way he pronounces it. So he has an Irish accent on Misfits, and so he doesn't pronounce the T. It's I'm immortal. And here on Umbrella Academy, he pronounces it because he's going with an American accent. He is such a fantastic actor. I mean, like, he is just brilliant. I just love him. And so I'm I started watching The Umbrella Academy just because he was in it anyway. I would have watched it, but he is just so phenomenal, and it's just great to see what he's doing with this character. I saw somebody mention that, a few somebody's mentioned that he'd make a great Jack Sparrow, and I have not been able to shake that. Yes, he would. He would be a fantastic Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, yeah, he would, like a young Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, Captain Sparrow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if old boy can't come back, well, you know, Robert Sheehan can move in and do the job. But I also love number 5. He has gone from a young teenager to a 19-year-old now. He's a grown man now.
Mm-hmm.
But he is an awesome actor. What you were saying about Allison, though, because I was talking to my husband about it afterwards, because I saw a lot of people hated Allison. They hated Allison. And I agree, she went much darker this season. But yeah. I was like, can you imagine? This is a Black woman who just got back from the 60s. She was involved in sit-ins. You know, she was being, yeah. She had segregation. This was,
no, I mean, girl, I get that, but she basically raped Luther.
Yeah, that was, she assaulted him and didn't get to the point of rape. But yes, I that was awful. It was terrible.
Didn't she command him to, I guess they didn't actually have sex.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But she.
Yeah, I was shocked that her mind went there. I guess because my whole thing about that was, I understand her being angry, but the thing that tipped her over when Victor didn't tell her the truth about the other dude and the one that she had, you know, had to get her powers out of, that's what made her turn so dark. And that's just, there were so many other reasons for her to turn dark. I don't know why the writers picked that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I can tell you why, because while I was watching it, I was thinking of it from the position of where Black women seem to be right now in the current relations, in the current world. Like, over and over again, we keep saying we have had enough. Like, we have had a fucking enough of everything that's happening, that's going on. And she has snapped because she's just sick of it. And it was like, I lost everything. Like, I have done everything right up until this point. She was noble. She wasn't doing anything wrong, right? I've done everything right. I've done everything everybody needed for me to do. I was there for everybody. I supported everybody. And I lost everything. I lost the two people who were most important to me. Here Victor is. Victor doesn't get to be happy either. I am so sick of being everybody's fall guy for everything. And then I don't get to enjoy anything that's great. Nobody going to enjoy anything that's great. You know, not even Luther. Luther, you're not going to be happy with your woman either.
Yeah, I get that. But I think, I know what I'm saying is, from a writer's perspective, she got mad. She didn't tell, or Victor didn't tell her about the guy accidentally killing their mothers. And that was what made her angry. But I get that she, you know, I get the anger. Like, I get all, it seemed to me in a writing way, it was just as far as a writer, I just didn't feel like it was in sync so much with what she would, you know what I mean? Like, with her anger, how did that tap into that? Like, I get it. She was sick and tired of everything, and they could have easily put her in that headspace by simply her going, you know, realizing, what the fuck, I did all this and for fucking nothing. You're just like, she could have gotten that angry by just saying, why are y'all giving up and you're not trying to stop this? And that, to me, would have made more sense than her getting angry over Victor not telling her this guy killed the mothers. So
it appeared that Luther.
And then she went and murdered the dude.
Not Luther. I meant
Victor.
Victor. It appeared, from me looking at it, Allison has always taken up and been there for Victor. Victor is the one that keeps bringing about the apocalypse. Like, on numerous times, he has been the problem, right? But right. Allison has been there to stand up and cover up for her and help her every step of the way. And then when it came down to it, Victor chose to, and I understood why Victor felt some responsibility towards Harmon, right? Towards Harlan. But it's like, you're picking Harlan over us, over me, after all that I've done for you, after being here for you, no matter what you have
right,
done.
Right, and that anger made sense. But for her to turn around and then murder the guy, man, that was just like...
I would have killed Harlan too.
At all. To me as an author, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Like, I'm literally just murdering someone who you knew was no longer had powers. They were just a regular human.
It made sense to me. Complete sense. Like, I was waiting for her to snap. Because, I mean, actually, from the very beginning, as soon as I realized that she... I was like, oh, my God, Victor, do not give Harlan over to Allison right now. Allison is deadly.
Well, that proved to be true.
I was like, Victor? Because she was like, can you watch over Harlan for me? I was like, uh-oh, it's all over now.
But, yeah. And then, so that was the other thing, because... You know, shows like this, there's so many moving parts. As a writer, you kind of have to, like, give in to this and that. Let that be that way, let that be that way, because there's so many moving parts. But, you know, she got, and when the world started over again, she got what she wanted and absolutely no responsibility for killing a person. Now, we don't know if she's going to be different. You know, later, as next season starts, she may find some herself for murdering that person, but we'll see.
Well, I hope not. Harlan killed all their moms. Like, I feel no sympathy for him.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, but it wasn't intentional. It's one of those things, like, I don't know. That's just how I am, like, I see, like, as an author, it has to make sense where that rage came out of. And her rage all made sense, but it was weird in the place that they chose to put it. But, you know, I guess it was just easier. I don't know. It was easy enough for accept in that particular way. I just thought they could have done that more artfully, and it would have felt more, you know, like everything fell into place perfectly.
Yeah, this one I actually... I didn't have any issues with that. I saw people complaining about the dance in episode one. And you know, that kind of brought me back to Lucifer. You know how they kept throwing in those.
Yeah. But that was part of that chick's magical power or whatever it was. Like that was her power.
So, I didn't have a problem with it. I'm so glad. I mean, they've done it before too, because they had Luther and Allison all loved up with the musical at one point. I'm just glad they didn't overuse it.
But, exactly.
You know, it was fun at the time. You know, it's cool. People also complained about Luther moving on so fast. And I was like, out of everything that's happening on this show, that's the part that...
I don't think he moved on that fast, though. I mean, we had all last season for him to get over that heartbreak. And then he had to accept that she was happy and that her life was fulfilled the way she wanted it to be. So I think it was, I thought it was the perfect timing.
Well, not moving on so much as falling in love and getting married all in the span of a few hours.
He was a fucking virgin. Come on now. As soon as he got that shit going, he was like, I'm in love with you. Where are you? You know?
Well, I just looked at it as like they're all extreme. You know, like, I mean, Klaus has had a whole cult. You know, like, I mean, Five has had an affair with a mannequin for years. So I just kind of looked at it like, okay, it's just another wild thing about
it. It's
them,
a quirky,
you know?
Thing. Yeah, for sure. No, I get it. It was good, though. I would definitely say if people enjoy this show, it was a great second to last season. And we'll see, you know, what the final season brings. Just like Stranger
Things. Yeah.
This is one of the shows, at least we're going to get an ending to, unlike certain shows that they just ended in the middle or the very beginning of, you know.
I will say my favorite part of this season was how they introduced Victor, how we went from Vanya to Victor, how they wrote in Ellen to Elliot's real life transformation. And I thought that was so beautiful how they did that. They've shown that clip on the Facebook page, and it's just beautiful every time I see it. That, I mean, if you want to come out, you know, I'm sorry if I'm going to mess up how it's being said. I mean, no harm, but if you're going to come out as transgender to people and to be loved and accepted, I think this is just beautiful how they wrote that in, how they treated the character and the actor. Much respect.
Yeah, and I don't know that transgender would be when they have the operation, so I think what it would be is just simply your sexual orientation. I think that's the right term now, but I don't know for sure. At this point, we would be drunk, just so y'all know, if we were taking shots.
Well, I mean, they went from Vanya to Victor. I'm pretty sure that's a different gender.
No, it is, but I think when someone does the operation, they used to call it transsexual because you would change physically. You would start taking medication to physically alter your body. But in that case, it's somebody who is simply saying my sexual orientation is male. I identify as male.
Transgender. I'm going to stand on transgender. This was a transgender situation.
Okay.
Love and Anarchy. I don't think you've watched that one.
I did not.
I mentioned it years ago, I think, but I don't think we watched it together. So I'm not going to talk about it very much because I haven't finished it, but I'm just going to say that if you want to get on Love and Anarchy, it's a Swedish romantic comedy show. That's sexy. It's about like an older woman in a book publishing industry who gets it on with the much, much younger tech guy in her office. And so season 2 just came out. If you know, maybe one day we can talk about that, like the next episode we can come back, because we talked about Good Luck to You, Leo Grande. So if you get a chance, watch Love and Anarchy. I won't say anything about it other than check it out, and so we could talk about it again later. But you did watch Good Luck to You, Leo Grande.
Yes.
And I felt like I was like, Chantel, you got to watch this. This is something we got to chat about.
Yeah.
Because I got the ad in my feed. And the ad, I hadn't even finished watching the trailer. And I was like, let me check this shit out. And I clicked on the button. I watched it all the way through. And I went back on the ad. And I was like, I just watched it. Thanks for the sponsor ad. I enjoyed it. What did you think?
I, of course, could not handle the age difference. It bothered me quite a bit. I was like, oof. But I mean, once I open up and communicate, it became a little easier to digest, because then it wasn't just sex toy, you know, some female using a gigolo as for what he is. But you know, once they opened up and started talking and becoming actual human, it was definitely, it was more of an artistic perspective from that point on. Still, I don't know. I can't handle the age difference. It does make, does not make me excited in any way. But I was really very, very moved by the performance of the actor. Felt that she really, truly represented the female perspective of women who have been in marriages that only know, you know, the world through their husband, and they'll only know themselves through their husband. They don't know, you know, they don't know even what makes them, their own body tick. And, you know, it was quite interesting to go through that change that she went through with this individual. And obviously, you know, I don't think every gigolo would be the same. You know, this gentleman was definitely much more of a insightful individual. Helped her to really confront and absorb and kind of rethink through what her life was like. And they grew, you know, kind of a relationship in many ways. And at the very end, you know, this woman who could not, you know, this woman who could not produce or had never produced an orgasm on herself or through any form of sex. And God knows this young man was trying quite hard. She never had this orgasm until the very end. And it was truly, it brought tears to my eyes because she was truly like accepting of who she was, because it was never about the act of sex or what pleasured her or anything like that. Because there were times where she was getting close and she became very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So it was about accepting her.
Yeah.
And I, that was beautiful. You know, that actress, I can't remember her name, but she,
Emma Thompson.
Yes. Beautiful.
Emma, and yes.
An amazing performance. This is definitely a movie that I think any female should watch.
Yes. This is a sex positive, sexy show. And we need so much. We need more of these. We need this.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Thompson, I felt like she embodied many older women or married women. You know, you could be young and married and still go through some of the things that she went through, being married or had kids, you know, postpartum. Then we got this young, handsome fella, Daryl McCormick, who understands that there's some beauty to love in everybody, no matter what they look like. Like, there's something you can focus on. I know when we've interviewed some of the porn stars on here, they've said the same thing. This is how they can have sex with just about anybody, because there's always something that they can focus on and find attractive. And I love that Leo Grande's character helped her to feel confident in herself, because that's really what it came down to. And he also helped her to understand that her pleasure, there's nothing wrong with her fantasy,
yeah,
her pleasure, yeah, and her desires. And she had never really grasped that. She had a husband all those years who never was experimental or never cared about her pleasure. You know, this was something that she had to take charge over for herself. I wish she'd have done it a long time ago, but at least she got to it where she was. A lot of people that I read comments really liked the apology that she gave to the young waiter, which was also necessary, you know, mm-hmm, because there's a whole lot of younger women coming up and people, let me make sure this thing is not shutting off. People get into identity, they get into modesty preaching and everything, like the only women worthy of respect or whatever are the ones who keep themselves chaste and pure. And that's not so. Like, we are sexual beings also. And they should, you know, like, it's not right to call a woman who is secure in her sexuality a slut or whore. You know, you just throw these things around, like you put down other women, make yourself feel good or look good, or you become this person that's condemning other people just because because it's internalized patriarchy and misogyny. It's internalized, and we project that also. Women project it onto other women. So I thought that there was so much that was being said and done in this show. A lot of people had problems with the dialogue. I love dialogue in a show. Teach me something. Help me really connect to the characters. When there's dialogue like this, I just,
yes,
was hooked in from the beginning, and it was watching their character development along the way. How I read some of the behind the scenes. These two actors kind of went sequentially with the show, so they got to know each other before they got to the sex scene at the end. And so, yeah, so they spent all this time together. I think it was 16 days of film, and they spent that time together getting to know each other, feeling comfortable. And that's why a lot of their performance felt so real, because they were kind of going through it at the time together in real life.
Which is great.
You know, there's not a love connection or anything, but I mean, feeling comfortable with each other.
And that came through. Like,
yes,
it was more of a therapy session for her versus a sexual thing.
Yes. So I thought it was so beautifully done. I'd really love to see more shows like this. And yeah, I I like how they did it. At first I was disappointed. I was like, I know good and well they don't have this beautiful man on this screen and he's just gonna talk about it the whole time and they're not gonna show us anything. So I was very pleasantly surprised when we got to the end and they finally got down to the real nitty gritty. I was like, yes, because that is a gorgeous man. And Emma is a beautiful woman. And I loved how they portrayed both of them. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like that they could have just went with two characters that looked alike, just one being older and younger. I love the contrast between them. They were completely different people. So they looked completely mixed match. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I liked how they cast them so well so that you could see. And okay, so this is one of those things, ladies. I want, if when you're watching this, listen to what they're saying and turn it back on yourself. Hold the mirror up to yourself. Are you feeling self-conscious about something? Are you inhibiting yourself or are you not seeking your own pleasure and making yourself happy? Like, think about the things that they're actually saying. Just don't just be entertained by this particular movie. Like, really think about it and turn it on yourself and see how it applies and put yourself first. Put your pleasure first. Think about what you want and go for it. We have spent way too much time pleasing these fucking men and pleasing everybody else around us. You deserve the love and the pleasure and what you want also.
Of course.
And it don't matter what age you are. It don't matter what your body looks like. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Be confident. Sit in your skin, admire yourself, take your clothes off like this woman did. Take your clothes off, look at yourself in the mirror and appreciate all the flaws. Appreciate everything about your body. If you have stretch marks that you had from the kids, appreciate that shit. If you got a little extra weight, appreciate that shit. Those breasts that might be floppy now I'm talking to myself. The breasts that might be saggy now, I fucking had two kids. I gave them milk from my body for 8 months each. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. These breasts were here. They fed two human beings. Like, that is a fucking beautiful thing. And I don't think we really appreciate ourselves the way we should. And I feel like this movie really tapped into that, especially this is coming from me as an older woman who's had kids and who is, I would be considered plus size. But it doesn't matter. Like, you could be underweight and this still applies to you. You, whether you were in your 40s or 50s or 60s, you were still a human being and you were worthy and desiring of your own pleasure. I'm done.
Well, I will also add to that. It doesn't have to be a young man understand this. It doesn't even have to be a male. You know, when you are a partner to somebody, whether it's the opposite sex, same sex, what you need to always remember, and this is something that, you know, I honestly think men are this way because they were taught shame about sex, period, to try to curb their own sexual behavior. But the thing is, guys, we have to learn to appreciate one another, to appreciate the sensations we help each other experience, and to respect one another and to help each other find, you know, a comfort level and an acceptance level in our physical and our mental state when we are in a couple situation, whether it's a or a couple for you know, several months or years, or someone you've chosen to spend your life. You should be the person who allows that person to experience life and all the pleasures that they're and help that person grow. If you're not helping your partner grow, then they are not happy. I'm promising you. You may think they're happy, but they're not. You have to help each other grow. You have to help each other see things. And you have to accept the changes within one another. Because if you decide, no, you're the one who has to always clean the kitchen. And you're the one who has to always take out the trash. No, this is your job. You're pushing people into a role that is not helping them grow. Because things change. You know, who knows? You may be the one that wants to go out and change the oil in the car while your partner is the one who cooks all the things. Change, roles change. And if you can't be flexible and allow those things to happen, then you end up not in those relationships anymore. Because people want to grow. People want to change. It doesn't have to be someone younger to teach you this. It doesn't have to be someone older. It can be, it doesn't matter. Your partner can be male, female, old, young. It doesn't matter. We have to learn to respect one another as humans. Very true. This is something that this, I felt like this movie to let people understand this was an extreme situation because you the two of them, both with clothes on and without clothes on, and tell the age difference. And the intention, I think, your mind open to if these two individuals, so opposite of one another, and different life, totally came from different upbringings, can learn to, in this case, he helped her accept who she was, but she was in a place where she wanted that change and she needed it. And it wasn't easy. There was definitely some tension at times because when you do these things, guys, when you come out of these molds, you're going to have a residual anger and frustration sitting there, and you may, but it's okay. Let it go. Let it feel it and go it and move to the next thing about to enjoy your life and your partner. Be a better partner, guys. Be a better partner to whoever you are with. It is truly the best thing you can do for anyone else and the best thing you can do for yourself. Because if you're a good partner, they're going to really love you. Amazing, wonderful pleasure too. So, you know, I think that's part of what this taught as well.
There's another thing that this taught me. I need to get my paper up so I can get me a Leo Grandy.
You are crazy. It took me a minute to understand what you said. I was like, wait, what? You are too much. Have fun, girl. Enjoy it.
Oh, goodness. We're 50 minutes in. Are we still going?
I mean, we got a lot of stuff out. I believe.
Yeah. The only other one that I wanted to mention was P-Valley. Have you been watching the second season of P-Valley?
I haven't, but I've heard it's great.
I wouldn't say great. I mean, I've been chugging along. I did enjoy the last episode. I saw some people say they weren't ready for the scenes that came up. But I appreciate the way they do those scenes, okay? You like this hot lesbian couple? All right, well, you know what? Don't be trying to having a double standard when we show this hot homosexual couple, this hot gay couple. When we show these two men, keep that same energy. You just was cheering and clapping for that. All right, now here, we're going to shove this in your face too. I love how they do that. They did this in the first season too. So I can appreciate what they're doing with keeping it even.
Okay.
Yeah. There's one thing that kind of bothered me. They showed, you remember the politician, the lawyer guy who was involved with the stripper. She's now running, she's part owner who's running the club. Well, he went back home and caught his wife giving a blowjob giving a blowjob to a doctor that she worked with. And I was like, oh, y'all just really trying to get rid of this character. I don't feel no sympathy. I mean, because he's been cheating the whole time, like boo hoo hoo. But it almost just felt like they just wanted to get rid of her character and just move on. Like they don't know what they want to do with the wife anymore. So they're gonna tarnish her image too, so that we can put him back in Chunkalisa with the chick that he was cheating with already. Anyhow.
Oh my goodness. So that now
we don't feel bad that he's with her. I guess that's where they're going with it. But I was like, oh, goodness. So the wife. Now, Mercedes is heating the motherfucking thing up on this show. Mercedes is, you know, she was the quote-unquote bottom bitch that you remember from season one. Well, she getting on that pole. She is looking mighty fine. She is hot to death. And she hooked up with the wife of the guy, one of the married men that she's been messing with. And yeah, but you know, she is hot and sizzling. That girl is fire. I love her character.
Well, there you go. That must be why I've been hearing good things about it.
Yeah. I mean, it came out of nowhere, but they showed it developing, I guess. It kind of made sense the way they went about it. And good for them. Like, I've been cheering the wife on because so she got this man who's powerful and got all this money. And so, you know, sometimes you're in those situations, women just be taking their shit. So I was very happy to see her owning her what she wanted, you know, the wife.
Okay.
And going after Mercedes her damn self.
Well, there
like,
you go.
I can appreciate, like, I was very glad that they didn't go into the competition between these ladies, or at least they haven't yet. I don't know what's coming down the road. But as of right now, I'm happy to see that it's not a competition thing. Like, you can appreciate another woman. When I see other women, I appreciate their beauty. I'm not in competition with you. I am 100% in what I am and what I got going on over here. And I want you to be 100 too. And a lot of times people, you know, put a lot of pressure on the side chicks or the women who are allowing the men to be able to cheat and all that. But in all honesty, these men do what they want to do. Like, the man is the one that married her, not Mercedes. Mercedes didn't marry that lady. But I can respect the fact that she still wanted the wife's permission. She wanted the wife's permission, which I thought was beautiful too. So I hope they gang up on that husband, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to take your word for this because, yeah, it's not a show I watch. But if people who watch it, y'all know what she's talking about.
Also, yeah, you want to get on it because, and we can come back to it another time because I want to know your opinion. They're going with some kind of Louisiana kind of voodoo type shit. Like, they're bringing in a supernatural twist to it this season. It's almost like they're bringing on that because it feels very True Bloodish, but without the fantasy element. And it's almost like they're wiggling that in there. Like, they're spinning a little magic, a little supernatural stuff in there. Nice. So I'm curious to see what you think about that.
Okay. I'll have to check it out. Thing that I'm writing my first like actual like full song. It's not just the lyrics. I'm actually writing a song right now with the guitar and everything. It's quite amazing.
Nice. And maybe you can give us a little taste next episode.
Possibly.
Or do you have something you want to hear? We got like 2 minutes if you want to spring it on us now.
Oh no, I don't even have the guitar in here where I'm sitting. Okay. But yeah, I'm totally excited about it. And yeah, I'll be working on that. My husband taught me what's everybody who's listening will go, oh, I get it now. But he taught me power chords. Power chords, simple, easy ways to just play a melody on a guitar. It can be as simple that you hear from punk rock music. And it's music, it's still the chord, but it's just a real simple way of creating music. And so it's more of a, I would say, a rhythm. You're creating the rhythm section of a song, and I'm hoping one day to actually, you know, team up with an actual guitarist who can put some real guitar in front of it. But yeah, so I'm kind of just playing around with it to learn something new and to play these instruments that I've got all around me.
Yeah, that's amazing. Nice. Yeah,
it's a lot.
I look forward to hearing it.
Well, cool. I don't think we have much else to chat about this evening, but
all right.
It was great talking to you.
Yeah, it's been fun. I came in low energy and now I'm pumped.
Uh-oh. Now she's gonna go clean something.
I am. I need to clean up some stuff and then I'm gonna get back to Love and Anarchy tonight so I can finish that.
I need to check that out. Yeah. I'm updating my website. So that's where my brain is right now.
All right. Good. All right.
All right, girl. Well, good night, to, babe. Yeah. Y'all have a good night. We'll see y'all next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex and Horror.
Make sure you subscribe.
And join our Facebook group.
If you'd like to be a guest, let us know.
If you have a topic to suggest, a movie, TV show, book, song to be featured, let us know.
You can follow me at ChantelRenee.com.
And I'm at Dicey Grinner all over social media. You can find me on my website, DiceyGrinnerBooks.com.
See you next week for Sex and Horror.